I think that with the pandemic and the challenges that we've been facing, there's been a new realization that, you know what, we have to find a way to solve our problems here in DuPage, and we can do that together. This is bigger than any one of us. You have to take care of the needs of the day, but you also have to think long-term about systems and solutions. And so I know with the foundation, we're trying to balance that and get more people in the game.
Welcome to the DuPage Business Beat, a podcast about today's biggest business issues told from a Chicagoland perspective. Hello, Chicagoland. Welcome to the DuPage Business Beat. I'm Greg Bedloff, President and CEO of Choose DuPage, and your host for today's podcast. In many ways, DuPage County is thriving. However, like any community, we face a number of challenges ranging from housing instability and food insecurity to mental health issues and more. We've covered some of these topics on previous episodes, but today I'd like to focus on solutions, how we're addressing these challenges, what we're doing to secure our collective future, and how you, our listeners, can make a difference. To help me understand the need in DuPage County and the power of collective impact, I'm joined by three guests: Mike Citrick, President and CEO of the DuPage Foundation; Greg Schwarzy, County Board Member representing District 6 and the Chair of DuPage County's Health and Human Services Committee; and Jim Mark, Managing Director of Private Markets and Chief Strategy Officer of White & Company. Mike, Greg, Jim, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Greg.
Hello.
I want to talk about some of the philanthropy already happening in our community and hopefully inspire our listeners to take action. But I'd like to start by setting the scene, and I think, Mike, you're probably the logical person to help me set that scene with. I know the foundation partners with many not-for-profits across DuPage County, and I know we have a lot of really good not-for-profits across DuPage County. And I'm sure you have a good sense of the issues impacting our community today and how you're helping address those issues. But can you give our listeners a sense of what I referred to earlier as that need in DuPage County and maybe two or three of the biggest issues you see that we're facing today?
I'd be happy to. So we're fortunate. DuPage County is a wonderful community. It's very affluent. We have a phenomenal, economic engine of all the businesses that are here. But there is, some challenges in DuPage County. I think a lot of people would be surprised to learn that in DuPage County, more than one in four households are struggling to meet basic needs here. That actually equates to about 230,000 residents. And that's definitely presents some challenges. If you just break that down a little bit, a family of four in DuPage County needs to earn roughly $92,000 a year to meet basic needs. That's a lot higher than the federal poverty level, $32,000. But that presents challenges. And when you look at some of the biggest issues that we're facing, Schwarzy is familiar with this from his work on the county board. Food insecurity is huge and growing. Affordable housing and mental health and substance abuse are three really big ones. And we can happy to dive sure. a little deeper into some of those.
Well, we did do a little deeper dive into one or two of them previously on a previous podcast with Chair Conroy on mental health issues and affordable / attainable housing. But Greg, let's talk a little bit about food insecurity and what you're seeing and kind of your spin as chair of the Health and Human Services Committee. I'm imagining a lot of these requests come through your committee.
Sure. Well, I've heard it twice now. I heard it, Greg, in your opening, and Mike just mentioned it. The three big needs in DuPage County for social services need to help those most in need are food insecurity, mental health, and housing. It really amplified during the COVID years, and so the county, saw the need, those needs really become amplified. And so we started putting our resources into that. But since COVID, it's gotten, especially with food insecurity, it's gotten worse. The economy, the cost of living, the prices have just gone up. And we've seen the food pantries go from 5 to 6% usage throughout the county to about 10 just a couple years ago. And now it's hovering around 11, 11.5%. I got some numbers from our Northern Illinois Food Bank. they have been reporting about 1,500 new visitors to the food pantries per month in 2025. So that's an increase of about 1.5%, and it's not getting any better. So those are the things that we've seen, and those are the issues that we're really trying to focus on.
And when it comes to food insecurity, and Mike, you touched on it, there's a little higher, I think, standard of living in DuPage County historically. And now when we have some of these challenges present themselves, it puts a strain on the entire system. So is it enough for the existing not-for-profit network and the existing service organizations to handle the challenges we're facing right now? I mean, I'm sure, I'm not one of them, but I'm sure there's people listening who are saying there's programs out there that are designed to address these situations, Greg. Why is the government, why is the county interceding in this arena?
I'll speak first.
Yeah.
It's not enough. It's just not enough. The food pantries were running out of food. And, we've been able to put really $10 million and more toward food over the last 3 or 4 years. And it's helping for sure. We were also able to not just provide money directly for food, but we've also invested in capital for the food pantries. We put money. We've been buying refrigerated trucks. We've been buying delivery vans. We've been buying storage units, refrigerator freezers, software to help, because we know once the money's gone, the food runs out. But these are some long-term solutions that we are trying to help with, but it's not enough. The 501c3s out there, there's just not enough of them to solve this problem.
We convened a group, a funders collaborative on food insecurity earlier this summer, and we were fortunate. We were to had representatives from Northern Illinois Food Bank, People's Resource Center, Loaves and Fishes, the leader of the DuPage Hunger Action Network, as well as the leader of the food pantry from Hinsdale. We had a conversation with a lot of area funders, and they're concerned. I think for the first time, Northern Illinois Food Bank was saying, every year we find a way to figure it out and make it work. And this is the first year as they're looking at their budget and the demand that's there. I know if you break it down a little bit, Loaves and Fishes is serving a record 10,000 clients plus a week now. I think prior to the pandemic when that started, they were seeing closer to 2,500. Now, they've expanded their service area. I want to be clear about that. They are being intentional about trying to reach more. But DuPage County has a gap when you look at, the difference between what's considered the federal poverty level and then the cost of living to live in a great community like DuPage. And the unfortunate part is a lot of our residents are working and doing their best, and they will make more than that federal limit that makes them eligible, to receive benefits. But there's a gap, and those are a lot of the clients that you're seeing coming out to these pantries. DuPage has roughly about 93,000 residents that are considered food insecure, and 40% of food insecure children are living in houses that are ineligible for SNAP benefits.
So, Jim, switching gears a little bit to the kind of the business point of view on this, you're on the board of the DuPage Foundation. You're a really civic-minded guy serving at Choose DuPage. White & Company is a longtime DuPage County business. What role does the business community play in some of these food insecurity issues that we've been hearing about, housing issues, et cetera?
The county's doing everything it can, so pulling together the public and private sectors is part of the solution. I think also trying to identify and understand the root cause of these issues, knowing after the pandemic and wages and inflation. And so I think what we do at White & Company in terms of getting involved at all different levels, not just through our clients, but obviously with Choose DuPage Foundation, we feel it's a responsibility and it's good for business. So we find the ways where we can get involved, but also to bring other collaboration to get to the root causes to see if we can help. I think it starts from the top down. I think Mark White and prior generations were always involved in terms of giving back. It's an investment in your community, and usually that will pay back. It's good for your staff. I think even the past few generations, they care about the communities. They may not know how to. So modeling that behavior in terms of demonstrating to the next generation down to get involved and spend the time to help wherever your expertise is. There's financial, there's support in so many different ways.
Yeah, and sorry to interrupt, but you know, I can't help but thinking back to the first time, maybe when all of us probably, because we're all of similar ages, when the first time I got my first kind of quote real job, and you're filling out those payroll forms, and the first the last question or some question on there was, how much money do you want to give to the United Way? And all of my buddies were giving to the United Way. And no knock against the United Way. They're a wonderful organization that has helped millions of people. But to me, it always felt like, well, if I'm going to work for this company, I got to give to the United Way. But I never really felt engaged in helping my community. And now when you talk to CEOs who say, you tell us who you want to give your money to, and we'll match the funds, or we'll figure out how we can help with that cause or that initiative, whether it's homelessness or food insecurity or attainable housing or whatever the case may be, the look on their faces when they think, wow, this is a company that is aligned from a values perspective with me. Are you seeing that?
Oh, absolutely.
At White? Mm-hmm. Is it helping retain employees and attract employees?
Oh, I 1,000% I think it does, that the amount of involvement that we have and the engagement that we have. I think we could probably continue to do better. But I think you just mentioned it. They're kind of leading the way, too, in terms of their involvement. They're just
crazy, isn't it?
You know, they're just getting involved in things that we weren't normally involved with, and that we have to support them around that.
Yeah. How about you, Mike? Some of the other businesses that you guys see, are you hearing
new and innovative ways
that folks are trying to get involved?
I think, you know, you think back to some prior generations, and you'd have a lot of people that would maybe just write a check and call it a day, right? But I think more and more you're seeing your workforces, they want to be active, they want choices, they want a voice. I think about some of our corporate partners that we work with. Dooley Health and Care has a very robust volunteer-driven program for their physicians and for their employees. The Dooley do-gooders are out. They're doing volunteer days. They're at the food bank. They're wrapping Christmas presents. They're, you know, doing river cleanups and things. That's something that the foundation is invested in terms of trying to cultivate. We've got to actually tonight, our Next Generation Initiative has their fall outing, and you know, probably about 75-100, you know, young people from 25 to 40s coming out because they want to network and connect with other people who care, and they're learning about issues. They're coming out tonight to hear about DuPage Pads.
Wow, that's fantastic. I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great to hear. So, Greg, the county, thank goodness, county near and dear to my heart, AAA plus bond rating, very fiscally solvent. The county's able to take some of its proceeds, some of its revenue, and contribute. What does that process look like? You're the chair of the Health and Human Services Committee, as you still have a fiscal responsibility to your constituents and the residents of DuPage County. What does the process look like within DuPage County's halls of government in terms of selecting where the county's going to allocate its funds?
You know, I've currently served 5 years on this county board, and you know, the things that we're focusing on today were not necessarily things that have been focused on in the past. You know, the mental health, you know, just 6, 7, 8, 10 years ago, it was probably never mentioned. I'm you know, speaking without actually real knowledge, but the focus that we have on the issues that we mentioned already, it's the entire board is all on board with all of this. We are voting unanimously to feed people. We're voting unanimously to provide mental health care. We're voting unanimously to provide housing. And I sort of look at it like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Why should the business community get involved? Because you're going to have good employees if they have food to eat, if they have a house to live in, you know, if their mental health is being taken care of. Nobody can be successful doing anything unless you have those basic needs, and that's what the county board has been focusing on.
Okay, so I hear a lot of government working with not-for-profits, working with the business community. Is that collective impact? Is that what that,
I think,
at the end of the day, goes to?
It is. And I think it's something that we're learning. And I'm really excited because I think the silver lining from the pandemic has been a willingness from all of these partners. I think you're seeing the not-for-profits realize that they can't do it alone on their own. The government is seeing needs and knows that, you know, wow, this is, there's a lot here. We need to engage partners. The foundation is seeing this. We think about our assets under management, but what about our assets under influence? How can we be that catalyst, that connector, that central point? And I think we're going to get into it here today a little bit on the podcast with some of the collaborations that we've had. But the point that I want to make is I think that with the pandemic and the challenges that we've been facing, there's been a new realization that, you know what, we have to find a way to solve our problems here in DuPage, and we can do that together. This is bigger than any one of us. And if we work together, if we're rowing in the same direction, if we can get creative and think, because to Greg's point, you know, you have to balance this Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You have to take care of the needs of the day, but you also have to think long term about systems and solutions. And so I know with the foundation, we're trying to balance that and get more people in the game. So I'm eager to talk a little more about it. There's a lot of passionate people in DuPage County who love this community, multi-generation businesses, right? They're people who have raised their families here. They're invested in their workforce. I'm thinking about some of these really great companies, and White is definitely one of them here when I think about it. They care. And if you present them with an opportunity and some education and say, you know, guys, we have an opportunity to solve this. One of the great things about DuPage, and in a time that's, you know, we're seeing increased needs, we're seeing, you know, tensions heighten between political factions and different things.
No.
In DuPage County, though, I think largely there's a sense people want to work together, and we realize that this is our backyard and that we have the ability to address this stuff.
If I can add, please. I think back to alignment. You know, when you think of solving some of the greatest challenges in the world or the innovation around creating products or anything, so each one of these things have a root cause. I think the financial component certainly can help. But, you know, one of the great things about DuPage County, because there is a lot of engagement involvement from the community and business community, but there certainly could be better. Of course, we're doing this at DuPage Foundation to get better engagement. But when you think of the interdisciplinary mindset, you get other perspectives and learn and understand and better understand and empathize the root cause. And then you get different viewpoints of, and that's when the magic happens. And I think that's where I think, like this topic in the podcast today, getting these people together in alignment, like you're saying with the board, now things can happen and you can address these situations. And I think, I know, Mike, what you're doing at DuPage Foundation, what we're doing there in terms of getting more involvement and getting businesses involved, it's not just their financial component, but it's also it's good for their own business. Mm-hmm. It's good to model the behavior for their next generation employees that want to live here. And oh, by the way, the attainable housing, we want them to live in DuPage County if they work here.
Be nice, wouldn't it?
So, but we together are much stronger as a group to help address these, solving these problems.
Let's look at that. Let's look at that thought from a county perspective for a minute. Greg, you represent District 6, one of six districts in DuPage. Half a dozen municipalities or so within your district, 8, 10, a whole bunch, 12. Okay, great. 39-ish municipalities representing DuPage County. And, of course, the county is a completely separate layer of government from the municipal level versus the state level. How do you, as a county board member, how does the county's team work to bring all these folks together to help everybody recognize what we're trying to achieve here?
You know, a couple things come to mind. First of all, leading by example, I think, is just huge. I mean, the county is doing just that. We're leading by example. We're verbalizing the issues out there, and we're doing our best to try to solve those problems. So I think that's important for these municipalities to see. We also do have an intergovernmental committee in which, in fact, I just met last night, mm-hmm. where there's at the DuPage Mayors and Managers Office. So we get a group of county board members, we get a group of mayors attending these meetings, and we talk about what's going on in the community, what's going on in the county, and these topics that we're talking about now come up, and they've been coming up regularly. What are you doing about it? What can we do about it? How can we help? What can the county do? What can the village do? And those are just a couple of the ways. But I will also say, you know, I'm going to give you an attaboy. your involvement with the entire county and the municipalities. I've seen you at clerk's meetings. I've seen you at many, many meetings, and you're always at our meetings. So you are for a better lack of term, you are a tool in our tool chest to do exactly what you're asking
me.
Well,
thank you. And I've always believed that it's an ecosystem. And an ecosystem is workforce development, economic development, housing, the whole nine yards.
And, you know, talking about leading by example, and you think of the mental health awareness and the facility, I mean, that is something that when you go beyond DuPage County and stepping up as leaders, I mean, that's going to be a model being viewed at around the country. Mm-hmm. So back to the DuPage County residents, businesses to step up and provide leadership. It helps our whole region, and I couldn't agree with you more, Greg, about, you know, if we thrive, DuPage County, all the other counties thrive, and then it's certainly to the center of the city thrives.
We were at a meeting, you and I were at a meeting last night for the Chicago Central Area Committee talking about new ways to beautify and improve Chicago, with some of the most creative-minded folks you ever met in your life talking about something that this will probably get edited, but the Eisenhower Expressway and how we got to solve congestion going in and out of the city, and we're going to double-deck the Eisenhower.
Like, that's been my dream. Well, somebody really brought that last night?
Well, no, you know what somebody brought up last night, Mike? Somebody said, what if we put a park over the Eisenhower instead of another road over the Eisenhower? What would it mean if we took ribbons of highways and added parks to ribbons of highways? And what would that do for community involvement and everything else? And I thought, wow, just...
So tie that back to, like, the mental health. I think, there's some Harvard students coming. It was shortlisted for the ideas of... And there's precedent around putting building over the top of highways and creating parks. But with CCAC, think big and think boldly. So when you think of these attainable housing, food insecurity, I mean, all the things we're doing and thinking incrementally. Mm-hmm. For us leaders, we must think boldly and take chances and risks and see what works. And that's what that is suggesting. It doesn't mean it's exactly going to do that. But you know what? You were there last night, Greg. Well, that makes you think a little differently,
sure
doesn't it?
Sure does.
And that's,
sure does.
I think, what this podcast does is it's almost a responsibility for us to share our knowledge and our experience and bring our networks in to help solve these larger issues.
So let's get down to some of the nitty gritty.
Sure.
The county recently allocated a bunch of dough to the DuPage Foundation. Let's talk about that. I'll start with Greg.
Sure.
How much money was the county allocating? And why was the foundation picked? And then, Mike, the natural follow-up question is, what has the foundation been doing with the money?
Sure.
And why should... Here's your elevator speech opportunity, Mike. Why should any other business listening today or any corporate or individual philanthropist think about the foundation as a repository for any of their philanthropic dollars? But, Greg, I'll start with you.
Sure. So the federal administration in 2021 allocated ARPA funds across the country, obviously. DuPage County received about $179 million. And, of course, with COVID being at its peak, we knew there was the needs out there that we've been talking about today. And I got to give kudos to DuPage County's Community Services Director, the Human Services Director, our full-time Executive Director, Mary Keating.
Yes.
I wasn't the chair at the time. I was the vice chair. So the chair, which was Julie Renahan at the time, myself and Mary Keating sat down. What are these problems we need to solve? Because everything was needed, not just these topics
we're
talking about.
Businesses were closing.
Yes, yes.
Pandemic and health issues and everything else.
So it was Mary's idea to, instead of spreading a bunch of money, a little bit of money across dozens and dozens of needs, let's focus on the top needs, which, again, in our opinion at the time was, you know, people got to eat, people need a roof over their heads, they're losing their homes, and the mental health of being isolated was just a huge issue. And so we allocated, we discussed it with the rest of the county board, and we were able to allocate $10.6 million. That is, it's a lot of money. And I'll be honest with Mike Citrick here. I knew of the DuPage Foundation, but I never had any dealings with them. Mary Keating said, the DuPage Foundation does this for a living. This is what they do. And so after, you know, maybe one meeting with your predecessor, I think.
Yep. Dave McGowan.
We decided let them handle it, and that's
which I commend, just for the record, because look, Choose DuPage is a public-private partnership. I don't technically work for the government; I work with the government. But if there's experts at implementing stuff, let the experts who can have the track record of doing it, let them do it. Yeah, I think
it took the politics out of it, and it was truly a partnership. I mean, Greg and Paula Deacon Garcia, another fellow county board member, served on the steering committee, and I credit both Chair Conroy and her predecessor. It was Chair Cronin at the time. We forged this partnership, and it started in 2022, and so $10 million over 5 years, two tracks. So and again, we've talked about this balance between meeting the immediate needs of the day and looking to really elevate and change the system with investment. So to wisely, when we created this framework, two tracks, there was immediate intervention. So to address people that are hungry, people that don't have shelter, people that, are just really in need of treatment and can't get to it. And then dreaming a little bit, thinking, looking, hearing from the not-for-profits, where are the pain points? What do you need from an infrastructure standpoint? And the results have been incredible. We now have all the dollars committed, pretty much. We have reporting back on the first three rounds. We had a total of three rounds of immediate intervention and then two rounds of what we're calling the transformational. And I'm really excited, actually, this fall, we are doing a community impact report to talk about the first leg of this. We've got really great data back now. And so we're going to do a video series. We don't want to just issue a boring standard
report.
Well,
reading my mind, because I'm sure there's people listening who are asking a question that I'll ask a little differently. What does success look like in a $10.6 million allocation to the foundation to address the immediate needs and the long-term needs? And how do you go back to the county board and say, here's what we've done with your money?
Well, we've been back a few times, and there's been a lot of reporting about it. It's all on our website. Also, if you go to dupagefoundation.org and you go look under our impact, you can go to the DuPage Community Transformation Partnership, and you can right now read the grants. And, we can get granular. I can give you some really great examples of some cool things. But just headlines from the first three rounds, so the first two rounds of immediate intervention and the first round of transformational, we had $5.2 million granted out of that $10 million for that. Impacted more than 230 residents. We gave away 3.4 million pounds of food distributed to over 200,000 residents in that time. We had on the housing front more than 900,000 granted that provided really critical housing assistance to 1,400 of DuPage's most vulnerable neighbors, including many single parent families, folks with kids. And on the mental health side, $4.5 million granted. More than 16,000 counseling sessions opened it up. One of the cool ones that I'm thinking about is Northeastern DuPage Family Youth and Services. We gave them $500,000 grant and opened up a new counseling facility, I believe up in Bloomingdale there, to serve that area, the northwest area, the county. And that's been a game changer. But I can, give you a whole mess of examples. I mean, I think the on the mental health front, not just responsive but prevention. The Alive Center in Naperville is doing some fantastic things in terms of getting youth, engaged in making good choices after school. They've got a very unique pilot program where kids can come after school, kind of that time when it's most vulnerable. They've had a lot of success. They are now starting to franchise this across DuPage. We actually, I'm going to tie this to White & Company too. They partnered with the BRIL YMCA. The BRIL YMCA in Glen Ellen just did a massive refresh of their space. I don't think they changed their footprint, but they gained 10,000 square feet. Am I remembering correctly? Is that I'm on the money? Okay. And but a big part of that, they have a new teen center there, which we granted. I know there was federal money from Sean Kasten that went into some of that, but they have now brought the Alive Center that's just been a game changer. And so, those are just a couple really cool examples.
And Mike gave some numbers of people help, but these transformational grants are going to continue helping new people forever. I mean that's our goal.
Within those grants, so some of it was buying food, some of it was buying critical. We've talked about this need for support, like infrastructure and different tools, transportation. We bought vans for different food banks and things like that. But there's been investments in the systems. I mean, counselors have been hired, new facilities have been opened up. We've given people resources, and all of this work really has inspired the foundation and is kind of transforming how we're moving forward in our next iteration. And
Are you able to leverage the efforts and the dollars from the county with some of your private sector?
So we did actually. The county gave $10 million, and we actually had some of our donors. This is the cool thing about the foundation, right? There's the dollars that we have available that let's call our discretionary community endowment. That's money that our board and program team and grant committee have direct control over. That actually is a very, very small amount of our actual what we give away in a year. Last year, fiscal year, we granted $17 million, but and of that amount, about 30% was discretionary in terms of grants that we're making, like through the DuPage Community Transformation Partnership and others. But what's actually just ours that we have direct control over for community impact, our signature program, is only 7% of that. So we're working really hard to grow our discretionary dollars, because the needs that we're seeing have just exploded. People are more aware of us because we've done some of this amazing work with the county and brought partners in. So the need is up, but the benefit is that we have all these partners. We have donor advisors who have funds with us, and they are stepping up with us and helping us close the gaps in our cycle.
No, I just want to add to that. I think, giving $10 million is no small change that the county board has decided to trust DuPage Foundation with. And I think Mike just demonstrated some of the I could expand and exponentially expand on the people impacted. One counselor affects how many people, right? So when you think of, when the food pantry, or you provide resources that address the root problems. So so that just says a commitment from the county at the county level, and then all, everyone that that give and that support to DuPage Foundation is only going to help exponentially expand the business community to get involved. So I think that's where the commitment, that's a significant amount of money that people believe, and in a short period of time, there's real data and impact, and I think that's how that helps.
So before the pandemic, I would say a lot of our grant making, we kind of had two tracks. We had our community impact grant cycle. That's where not-for-profits come to us and apply for grants. We try to be responsive. And then we have about 480 funds under management, and a big chunk of those are individuals and families that have donor-advised funds where they can make grants locally and nationally to their favorite charities. And then, we manage endowments for about 100 different not-for-profits. Most of our community impact, our discretionary grant making, was pretty responsive, and I'll call it, it's kind of a little bit more spread the peanut butter, right? You're giving a little bit to a lot of places. And this idea of being more targeted, I think, really came about through the work with the county. And so when we started implementing this, looking at our next strategic plan, we did two things. First, we decided we needed to expand our lanes of grant making. So instead of just the spread the peanut butter model, we've moved to kind of this three-leg seed, sustain, and strengthen. So different levels, seed grants for new not-for-profits that maybe need a hand to kind of get going. And we require them to have some skin in the game. Some other funders demonstrate that. Sustain is kind of what we've been doing, the traditional. But then strengthen is really institutionalizing the work we've done with the transformational partnership. And we've expanded that to capacity building. And then, again, encouraging both the not-for-profit community and our other partners to kind of dream.
So how do we get that message out there more, Mike? Because I'm sure, again, here comes some of the hard questions or some of the hard commentary. What do we say to folks who are saying, what are we doing about the root cause? what
yes,
are we
success, what success would look like.
Yeah.
I mean, there are going to be other issues, but if we can put, I think you mentioned like a system in place that addresses something and mitigates those challenges, there'll always be, like you said, spread the peanut butter. There's not enough to go around, but that probably what success look like, really.
Yeah, I think that's why I'm so excited. Whenever the business community, I'm jaded running Choose DuPage, of course, but whenever the business community can get engaged with not-for-profits or with county government and kind of make sure that that notion of efficiencies and those notions of collaboration are top of mind, I think it just, you know, because, Mike, the county could have chosen, as Member Schwarzy pointed out, they could have chosen to take the $10 million, divvy it up to 10 different not-for-profits. But why do folks give to you guys as opposed to the individual not-for-profit?
I think the answer, it's not a competition. I think it's both. So I think if you have a business that has a very well-defined philanthropic strategy and you know your charitable partners and where you want to have impact, go ahead and do that. We never want to stand in the way of that. What we want to do is be a multiplier. We want to be a convener, an educator. And I think, you know, there's a lot of people that, again, this idea of, you know, you can do more together than you can on your own. And so, you know, for some businesses, they don't have a strategy. I was just talking with an area CEO who's like, you know what? We're very passionate. My company has been here for years, but we're bad at this. We want to hit the easy button on philanthropy, and we know you guys know where the needs are. Because of all these requests you're getting, you can tell us. You can help us make better decisions. Our donor advisors, we have, you know, 180 or so donor advised funds, and those folks, some of them are giving very much on their own to their favorite things, but every grant cycle, we see needs, and as they get to know us, they're like, hey, what are you seeing? Can you tell us? We have this interest in mental health, or man, we really want to do more to help meet basic needs in DuPage. What are you seeing? How can we help? And these guys come and they help close the gap. Our Spring Health and Human our Spring Health and Human Services grant cycle, we had a budget of $450,000. We had $1.4 million in requests. We took that to our donor advisors. They were able to fill that gap. We were able to give away another $500,000 because of them and fund 70% of requests. I've seen that and we're like, wow. So that's just like people in our circle at DuPage Foundation. What if we could scale that for the community? How many companies and businesses, if they knew about the needs in DuPage, would want to get on board? That was really the catalyst for us starting this community impact circle with that Jim Mark and Bob Hutchinson from Wintrust are co-chairing. We want to get more people in the game working together.
Okay, now Greg, $10.6 million at the onset of COVID or during COVID, you are in the middle of a budget cycle right now. How does the county board look at these continued needs this year, next year? Again, 100 pennies in a dollar, right? And sometimes other needs, public safety and some of the kind of the, what I often hear folks say is kind of the core responsibilities of county government can get in the way, again, bad word choice there, of some of these programs that you're trying to continue to champion. How do you balance those?
Well, I will say that our county chair did just come out with her budget speech a couple days ago, and public safety, public works, all the things that the county really is responsible for, none of it's taking a back seat. You know, we've been very fortunate because we spend accordingly. And we're always conservative with our numbers, and we do have a budget surplus in 2025, which we can take some of that surplus and put it toward these social need issues that we have. And so, but part of her budget did include these topics. There's $3.1 million earmarked for food. How we spend it, maybe we work with the DuPage Foundation, but it's there. You know, we haven't voted on it yet. Mm-hmm. There's $5 million new dollars for affordable housing to go with the $5 million that we already have in that fund for various needs. Maybe we work with them on that, DuPage Foundation.
I respectfully submit that one's, you know, and I'm not saying this because my friend Jim Mark is here. That one is enormous, Greg. Exactly. Attainable housing, affordable housing, workforce housing, whatever moniker we choose to hang on it is so critical right now for economic growth in DuPage County, because if you can't have a workforce to support your business, you can't have a business.
Transportation's the
other. And I'm glad you use those other terms, because you know there's people out there that think affordable housing means one thing when it really is it means a lot of things. Let's talk about the mental health. We just received $250,000 from the President's Cup, Medina Country Club, for our crisis recovery center, which just opened earlier this month. Mm-hmm. So this is really a one of a kind facility. Mental health facility with professional mental health doctors and or counselors on staff 24/7. It's a building. It's a place where anybody in the county can go to any time of day or night. They can have insurance. They can have Medicaid. They can have nothing, and they're going to be accepted. It's also adult and children friendly, so mm-hmm. children can come to this. It's also a place that can serve as a place as opposed to an ambulance going to the emergency room or a police officer taking someone to jail. They can take them to the, if they qualify, they can take them to the crisis recovery center. So the county is putting its money where its mouth is with all these issues we're talking about. And I do got to say, since you asked me with regards to the DuPage Foundation, I am a huge fan of what they do. I didn't really know how difficult it is to put grants out there. It's not an, I mean, there's legal issues. There's just a ton of things that.
You'd think it would be easier to give away money, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you sure would. And I'll be honest with you, the work they do is, it blows my mind. That's how good they are at what they do.
So, as I mentioned, after the DCTP, partnership with the county, we really were inspired in our new strategic plan in terms of how can we better engage the community and really bring people together. So everything in our new strategic plan is this idea of creating an ecosystem of collective impact for DuPage. I kind of call it our three C's. So the first one, we started a collaborative, a funders collaborative. So other groups bringing other foundations, corporate partners around the table to talk about needs and issues, explore joint funding. That group meets about once a quarter. I'm thrilled to share that as an outcome of that already, we've had a new partnership, a $300,000 investment to create a new lane for workforce grant making for the next 3 years, which I'm really excited about. That came about, and the partner is interested in making a long-term commitment if that's successful. The second C is this circle. So Jim Mark, along with Bob Hutchinson from Wintrust, are co-chairing this circle. And what this is an opportunity to help get other area businesses and foundations in the game of making immediate impact. It essentially takes what I was telling you earlier, how we've engaged our donor advisors before, gives businesses an opportunity to come engage with us at a level that makes sense. So whatever, $5,000 to $100,000, whatever you want, you come in at a level, 70% of what you bring to the table goes out the door for immediate impact. 20% we're investing in our community's IRA to meet future needs, because we think that's important. You need resources today and tomorrow. And then 10% is to help fuel our programs and activities and everything we're doing in the community. And I'm thrilled. We've kicked this off earlier this year. We already have 6 corporate partners. Our goal is 10 by the end of the year. And White & Company is a proud member of that. Wintrust, Northern Trust Company, Comcast, Grow Wellness. We've got several groups, which I'm really happy about.
So where do we see this going in the future? Is this contagious? Are we going to keep this momentum? Is anybody nervous about philanthropy from the business perspective? Jim, you guys have seen a lot of upturns and downturns and recessions and growth periods. How important is this?
Well, since I'm getting more involved here with Choose DuPage, DuPage Foundation, of course, DuPage County has been important to our company, but I think it's encouraging, and I do a lot of work within Chicagoland, and one, I think there's optimism going forward, which tells me that people want to address these issues as well. I did put the 4 G's, get current, and I think, listening to this podcast, Mike mentioned a business or a person that has access to their wealth, and listen and understand. And don't just think of research things on the surface. What is really driving the changes? We certainly know what's going to happen current day these days. Get engaged. Had you come last night to CCAC? And the idea of that is, and when Greg, you're leading GSEP with World Business Chicago, and the more people we can have a perspective of what's going on around them, we can only get better. So there's many different organizations you can get involved with. And then, get involved. So you not only get engaged, now you learn and understand and what you get the experts. How can you, as a person, a company, and your staff get involved, or a community member, like get involved? One thing, if you get 10 people, 100 people, 1,000 people, just do one thing, it's better than doing nothing. Then finally, it's good for business. And you can research it, go get an AI and understand it does have a return on the investment. And I've learned more of that, with getting involved with DuPage Foundation, with Mike. So those are my four G's.
I thought we were going to have a podcast where we didn't talk about AI, but you went and mentioned it.
Okay.
So that's okay. Greg, what about the county? Is this sustainable at the county level? Where do you like to see this go? And what's your message to the business community and individuals who are listening today?
We've talked about, not only helping, but how to solve some of these problems. And some of them, I think we're making headway on. I really do. I mean, this crisis recovery center is a long-term solution to helping people combat some of these, behavioral, mental addiction issues that are out there. The money that we've put toward food capital that I've talked about, those are long-term solutions. We, part of the chair's budget proposal Tuesday was $2.5 million to Loaves and Fishes. Thank you for that word. I couldn't think of that word. Expanding. And in their expansion, there's solutions to storage issues, cold, hot storage issues.
That's a huge one because Loaves and Fishes has now become our largest food pantry in Illinois, which I was floored to learn, because you think about Chicago and everywhere else. But what they are doing now is they're essentially doubling their storage facility with this campaign, and they are going to be providing free in-kind storage, cold and I believe just normal, to other area food pantries and places who don't have that capacity, because that's a major issue. Some of these places that are just volunteer driven or in these little truly pantries, right? That they don't have the room, and they are by storing. And then I think there's some economies of scale happening in terms of the food delivery and how some of this stuff gets moved around, but really becoming a hub.
Well, Greg, I think you're right. Unless we have a balanced budget, unless you're fiscally solvent, and some would argue fiscally prudent and fiscally conservative, there's 100 pennies in a dollar, and you just can't continue to fund these when things like public safety and streets and everything else are still the core responsibilities of the government. I was sat through the budget meeting gladly, the budget speech rather, and it's refreshing to hear that we can continue to make these investments to help our community and at the same time address the needs that the DuPage County residents expect our elected officials to address head on. And it's refreshing to see collaboration, to be blunt. It's refreshing to see, why should there be any level of partisanship on the county level? I get it. It's the system we have. It's how we say it's the least imperfect system of governance on the planet. But it was really refreshing to hear that budget speech and see that there's still opportunities to do that.
Thank you.
And Mike, closing thoughts on the foundation or kind of where you're seeing your organization heading?
So I would just say, first of all, thanks for the opportunity to have us. I think philanthropy is not something that is always top of mind or people talk about every day. So we're grateful for the opportunity. I would just say, the foundation is here to be a champion for philanthropy in our community. We are here to elevate the conversation and really support our not-for-profits, whatever folks are doing, whether that's, you have an employee giving program, whether, you're a business owner who's selling a business and philanthropy is coming to mind for the first time, whether you're an individual trying to figure out your family, you know, your personal strategy or your family's, you know, Foundation is here to be a resource. We first and foremost want to be a navigator to help make you aware of the issues, and that connector. We love doing that. But we're here and we want people to be able to work with us and give through us, you know, to us to really benefit the DuPage community. So I think there's a lot of potential, and I'm really excited from what we've seen the past few years with this willingness for people to partner and open a dialogue. So thanks to everyone around this table for all you do.
So Mike, I'll start with you. If people want to learn more about the DuPage Foundation, where should they go?
Well, actually, you have great timing. We just launched a brand new website. So if you go check us out at dupagefoundation.org, you can learn about us, our impact, and our partners.
Great. Greg, if people want to learn more about DuPage County and Health and Human Services and how to get involved and be active within county government, where should they go?
Everything is on the internet. Look us up.
DuPageCounty.org. And Mr. Mark?
Yes?
White & Company, always a fantastic civic partner, always a fantastic business. Thank you. How can people learn more about what you guys do and how it's meant for your business?
Go to whiteco.com, WIGHTCO.com.
So that's it for today's show. Mike, Greg, Jim, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Greg.
Pleasure, Greg. Thank you.
And as always, thank you to our dear friends at the College of DuPage for supporting today's episode. To keep up with what's happening in DuPage County and the Chicagoland region, follow Choose DuPage on social media or visit choosedupage.com. I'm Greg Bedlove. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on the DuPage Business Beat.